Okay, if you build a new house, kisivna bayis chadash, vasisa maka ligogecha, velosa sim damim beveisecha, ki pol hanofel mimenu. Okay, friends, what's the pasuk describing? It's a mitzvah of the Torah to build a maka, to make a fence on your roof. If you build a new house, you should make a fence for your roof. Why? So that you shall not place blood in your house. Because God forbid, chas v'shalom, a person could fall off the roof. Okay, so as a means of safety, one who has a roof, in the olden days in particular, they had flat roofs, as opposed to some of our slanted roofs. And they would actually use the roof space as a usable area. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah to be safe. And to put up a maka.
Someone in Muncie has
okay. Same thing is true for what? Yeah, you've seen a maka. Okay. A fence. You need a fence. The same thing is true for any dangerous. Halacha says the same thing would be true. You need to have a fence around your swimming pool. If you have a dangerous stairway, you need to make sure that it's properly enclosed. Okay, fine. So says our Halakha Rebbe, the Mor v'Shemesh. Ha'inyan hu b'derech remez. The message to us, that's alluded to us, is the following. Aval eina mikra yotze midei pshuta. She mitzvahs maka. Meaning, obviously, you know, we're learning a chassidish sefer. So the Rebbe says, I want to explain to you the remez, the deeper meaning of this pasuk, but the pasuk pshat is also the pasuk pshat. You need to build a fence for your roof. He mitzvahs asay. There's a real mitzvah. Aval ha-Torah kadosh merames ala adam. Ka adam basar v'dam. Hamarame is al chaveru be'etzpa. This is a powerful line. But everything that the Torah says to us is hinting to us something more, the way that a person could hint something to his friend with his finger. In other words, there's the pashup shot, there's what I'm actually saying, what I'm actually doing. Or as he says here in the next three words, umechave le b'machog. He's actually alluding to a Gemara in Chagiga, where he makes gestures with his hands. The Gemara says there was a debate, there was this troublemaker who started up with one of the Tanaim in the presence of an important government official, and they started giving signals at each other, hand gestures. So the king says to the non-Jew, he says, first he says to the Jew, what did he say to you? So the Jew, the Tana says, he said to me, he's trying to hint to the fact that Hashem has abandoned us. He made a gesture like Hashem has turned his back on you, Hashem's hands used to be stretched out over you, now God has abandoned you. So he says, okay, you got it right. Then he says to the non-Jew, he says, and what did this Jew, what did he signal to you? So he says, I don't know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to interpret his signal. So the king says to him, a person who doesn't know how to interpret gestures is signaling in front of the king? And you're not an expert and you're here making hand gestures? Off with his head. So the Torah Kedosha is also, it's saying something with its words, but it's also gesturing to us. It's also saying something more. Right? The Torah Kedosha is Merames al ha'adam, ka'adam basar v'dam ha'merames al chaveru be'etzva. The Torah is making gestures at us, u'machve le b'machog, means it makes gestures the way that a person might signal something, right? When you give a person a certain facial expression or a hand gesture, right? The person knows, I know what my friend's. When he winks at me, I know what he's saying. Right? He gives me a thumbs up, I know what he's saying. Right? Maybe there's a whole a world of sign language. So, Kein kiviyochum merames ha-Torah la'odim lahavin beremes. The Torah speaks to us pshad, but the Torah also speaks to us remes. U'mistama shayach ha-remes al-pshuta. And there's a connection, obviously, between the remes and the pshat. The layers of the Torah are built one upon another. Even if sometimes we don't understand, we sometimes, we compartmentalize the different sections of the Torah. There's like what Ibn Ezra says, that's the pshat. And then there's like what the Arizal says, that's the sod. But really, be'emes, the pshat and the remez and the drush and the sod, even though we don't always understand how they connect to each other, they're always connected to each other. That's one of my favorite things. When a person could take a sugya in halacha and show how in pnimius it's really the same sugya. Yeah.
It's like when we learned last semester, we learned
sister with the Bavli Rabbi who said that, like, how everything is, when the Chassidus kind of includes everything.
Right.
So, like,
that's right.
Talks on everything.
Chassidus even more so, right? Chassidus even more so is the language. Like the Bava Chervi says in Nuyana Shal Torah Sachasidus, right, that it's the language that helps us to understand how to see how Pshat and Remez and Drush and Sod, it's all one. It's all one. Echad, it's all one. Okay. V'nei kvar kasavnu kama pa'amim sha'ashem yisbarach barachu osa hishtalshulis ha'olamos ara olam hazeh ha'shafel b'kama tzimtzumim u'maseichem ha'mavdilim b'fnei adam u'fnei ha'kdush. Let's talk about creation of the world. Says the Mor of Hashem, as I've spoken to you many times about the Hishtalshalas Ha'olamos. What does that mean, the Hishtalshalas? What's a Shalshalas?
A chain.
There's what? What did you say?
A chain.
A chain. Right? So there's a chain, how the worlds are linked from the higher worlds all the way linked down through all the Olamos to the Olam HaShafel HaZeh, to this lowly world. How there's many Tzimtzumim, that there's many contractions, constrictions. There's many maseichem hamavdilim. There's many walls that are built before a person and before the holiness that he's attaining. There's a lot of blockage. There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of layers to the universe. Va'osa Hashem yisbarach. I once saw in a sefer, why does a person cry when they peel an onion? There's a Torah to it. I once saw. Avram Shor brings it in one of his farm. He doesn't say where he saw it. He said, I heard from someone. I saw Shemati mi avrech or isi b'sefer echad. Why is a person cry? He says when the Rambam describes onions have layers. The Rambam describes the olamos, the layers of the world. Right? Onions have layers. Why do you cry when you start to peel an onion? Because you start to realize how superficial you are. You realize there's so many layers. There's so many layers. Why do I stop at such a superficial layer? Right? No, it's good. I got the Rashi. Mitosos also. Yeah, mitosos also. And when you start to, when you uncover the layers, right, you realize, you know what? I want to be a deeper Jew. And I should cry over that. I should cry over wanting to be more connected. That's something to aspire for. So why did Hashem Yisbarach make all these layers? Explains our Rebbe. Va'asa Hashem Yisbarach b'chivon kedei shiyah b'chira v'ratzon v'schar v'onesh ayideza. Very introductory Kabbalistic explanation of creation. Why did Hashem make all of these layers? Hashem did all of this so that we can have bechira, we can have free will. We can have the ratzon, the desire to choose. There could be schar va'onesh. If everything is obvious, then why do you get a reward? If everything is obvious, right, then a person would never do an avera. Hashem put us precisely in a world where we could choose between right or wrong. We can score points. We could earn schar. We can get punishments. And it's our job to break through all of these maseichem hamavdilim, to break through all of these walls, all of these layers that separate. And like we've been learning in Yonah and in so many other contexts, right? To allow the guf to become subservient to the neshama. The guf is the outermost layer. Right now I see, right, I mean we add even further layers. Part of the curse of Adam Rishon is that you need even more layers. We wear clothing. Clothing's a curse. And then I have a body. And then in my body I have a soul. And the soul itself has layers to it. There's a nefesh and there's a ruach. There's a neshama. There's a chaya. There's a yechida. There's so many layers. The goal is to break through all of that blockage. That the neshama should be able to illuminate the body and all of the masks that we wear. All of the layers. That the body should shine like the soul. There shouldn't always be in conflict. My body's fighting against my soul. Right? Or I get caught up in the superficiality of life. And you'll see this is a theme in Mor of Hashem. He's challenging us to grow. So okay, so we can spend 45 minutes a week getting a Musar Shmuz from a Heilig Tzadik, why we should keep growing. One of the most important things you could possibly decide to do in your life. Much more important than deciding if you should, you know, wear a black hat or something like that. Much more important is to decide, am I going to be a person who holds myself accountable to be a growing Jew? Do I want to be better? Do I want to be different? I want to be a better person next year. I want to be more connected next year. Do I want to max out when I'm 20, or do I want to be a radically different Jew in person when I'm 40 because I've worked on myself. That's it. That my body should start to shine like the neshama. Vayidema yuchal zos. So how does a person do this? Al yedei haTorah b'dichilu v'rachimu u'mitzvos u'maisim tovim b'lahavesh. When I learn, when I daven, when I do mitzvos, b'dichilu, we said last week, is yira, with yira Hashem, v'rachimu, and with ahava, with fear and with love, b'lahavesh, with great energy, as I meyir la'aretz u'la'gufnias u'lechol ha'maseichim, she'yeiru al yedei or haTorah, v'al yedei or haShabbos, Shemeir v'or ha'gadol. When I fill the world with the light of Torah and mitzvos, kiner mitzvah v'torah or, so that illuminates physicality, that illuminates all of this blockage, that illuminates all of the superficial layers. Umeir mikoach ha'kedusha, and that illumination from that place of holiness illuminates every mesa hamavdil. It illuminates every mask, every layer. She'iru gamkin v'loyu maseichem klal, that it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a mesach at all. It shouldn't be a layer at all. It shouldn't be a mask. It shouldn't be a blockage. It shouldn't be a wall. Ela adraba, the opposite. All of the different layers now become, he says, ela adraba, hamasechim yairulo. The walls become walls of light, illumination. And by way again of all of those layers, I start to climb back up to Hashem. V'derech ha'mesachim hiya yuchal la'avor derech sham. And by way, again, of these walls, I start to ascend. U'ledabik es atzmo be'eser sviros ad ein sof baruch hu. If I look again at the chart of the 10 sviros, with Keser being on top and Malchus being on the bottom, so I start to climb up through the sviros. We spoke the other week how they correspond to different parts of the body that correspond to different Torah personalities. Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura. I start to reattach myself all the way, climbing this chain, this Ishtalshalus, this Shalshalus. I climb back up to Hashem. She'ein Sov Baruch Hu Hetzil Or Rishon Minei Ubei, because Hashem sent forth that first bit of light from within Himself. Ad Shekeviyachol Ein Chiluk. In such a way that really, if I tap in, I realize that it's all Hashem, that there is no distinction. It looks, when I'm down at the bottom, it looks like I'm far from Hashem. When I'm at the top, I feel like I'm close to Hashem. But there's really no distinction. This is the cause, and this is the effect. This is the creator, and this is the created. But really, the created, this chair, is infused with the light of Hashem. Hard for me to see that. Physically, it's hard for me to see that. Spiritually, it's hard for me to see that. But that's the truth. Vishtal shel od oros, and all of that light, again, came down through these layers. Dahainu eser sviros hakadoshos bishtalshalos. Through the 10 sviros. Hachishtalshal olam hazeh hashafel achomri. Until all of that light became physical objects. In the form of our bodies. In the form of the fins of this world. Va'odam etzadik meyir kol hadvarim hachomriyem ha'ovim. And a person who's striving for spirituality says, I want to see the light. I want to see the light of Hashem in everything. I don't want to just see the outside layer. That he starts to what? That he starts to ascend from that place of darkness to a little bit more light, a little bit more light, a little bit more light, a little bit more connected, a little bit more revealed, all the way to the top. Okay. A nice summary of how reality is structured spiritually. And now says the Rebbe, an amazing part. The Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga, this is what Chazal tell us in Chagiga, that the original light of creation, or Shenivra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biyom Rishon, the original light of creation, Odom Mabit Bo Misof HaOlam Ve'ad Sofo, interesting expression, Odom HaRishon was able to see, Mabit Bo, he was able to see through the light of creation, Misof HaOlam Ve'ad Sofo. What we would call in English, from end to end. From one end of the world to the other end of the world. It's interesting that we call it end to end. Why don't we call it beginning to end? Anyone know one of the terms that we use Kabbalistically to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? Ein Sof. Or Ein Sof. Which is really saying the same thing twice. What's the gematria of Or? What's the gematria of Ein Sof? 207. Right? So, or Ein Sof is saying the same thing twice. Right? But why do we say Hashem is Ein Sof? Hashem has no end. The beginning, forget it. There's no beginning either. Right? But we sense that infinity, the infinitude of Hashem. We sense it. So the world was also Misof HaOlam Va'ad Sofo. But again, that's not really our Rebbe's question here. He's not stuck on the fact that it's... We would say in English also, end to end. But what does that mean, end to end? What is end to end? The Hainu, Adam HaRishon, had the ability, because before Adam sinned, he was in a certain perfected state, he could see from end to end. In other words, he could look at something in Gan Eden, a physical object, and he could see from one end to the other end. What does it mean to see Binyamin from one end to the other end? It means that the banana that he was eating, because there were other things in the garden, besides the Eitz HaDaas, which he was not supposed to eat from, which was not an apple. That's why I was going to say an apple. Let's say the apple he was eating, but then you would think I'm suggesting that the Eitz HaDaas was an apple, which it's not. What was the Eitz HaDaas? Chokas. Medrash says it's an Esrog. Right. Gemara gives three different opinions. It was wheat. It was grapes. Right. It was figs. Okay. That's why they took fig leaves to make clothing. What does it mean Adam could see from Sof HaOlam Va'ad Sofo? This is a beautiful insight. To see from Sof HaOlam Va'ad Sofo means to hold the physical object in your hand and to be able to recognize what? To see all the way through to the other end. To see it from one end to the other end. The Hainu Misof HaChumrius Va'avius. To be able to be a deep person means I can look at the world, I look at that graffiti on that building over there, and I'm able to see from end to end. I'm able to see somehow, and I don't have the physical eyes to do this, right? But tzaddikim are able, when a person's in a more holy and perfected state, you don't look at things physically as physicality. You look at it as ruchnias, you see godliness in it. Adam HaRishon was able to see misof ha'olam da'ayinu misof ha'chumrius va'avios, to see from one end, from the chomer means the raw material, that which is av. Av literally means like thick, or fat. Right, but from, so to speak, the gross substance, not gross and like disgusting, just like the materialistic substance, he was able to be meyer ad sofo. He was able to see the illumination all the way on the other end. The hainu sofo lamala lamala ad ein sof baruch hu, all the way to the other sof, the ein sof, to the infinitude of Hashem. Yeah, all right.
He's saying that he was able to see the ruchnias
of all of Gashmias.
Seeing like what does that mean? Like
to see through all the layers. To see what?
To see the utterances. Like what does that mean? To see the roughness.
What does it mean?
Like
yeah, to recognize again that everything as we have it here is just is the lowest end of the chain.
It was a recognition.
If it was a recognition or it was a physical ability to be able to see that, you know, that the apple in his hand is not really an apple. Right. It's the word of Hashem that became, you know, the Devar Hashem made up of letters, and then the letters went through some type of contraction until it became, you know, a Devar Gashmi. The way the Baal Tanya, at the end of his life, was able to look up, and he said, I don't see, he said, what do you see? He said, the person was with him, what do you see? He said, I see a wooden beam. He said, I don't see a wooden beam anywhere, I just see letters.
Yeah.
So that's called seeing through reality, you know, the matrix. To be able to see it for what it really is, yeah.
If Adam has the ability to see through reality, then in Q time, days of dust, how do you not see through that?
So it's a big shaila. It's a great question. It's a very fundamental question. If Adam was so perfect, so how did he ever get tricked by the Yetzirah to sin? So there's a school of thought that his Avera was actually Lishma. He knew it was wrong. It wasn't like us where we give into a taifa because all we see is the Gashmias. And the Yetzer gets the better of us. That he made a choice, that Adam Rishon made a choice to eat from the Eitz HaDaas because he felt that life was almost too easy. Because he could see everything. He saw things for what it really was. He said, there's no Melchama here. He said, say L'melchama Alevecha, I want to fight the Eitz HaRa. So it could be that Adam Rishon, in a certain sense, wanted to almost rebel, to bring himself into a more challenging game. But that's a deep question. If Adam HaRishon had such clarity that the Yetzer HaRa was not an inside voice like the Nefesh HaChaim says, where was the Yetzer HaRa in Gan Eden? It was walking around outside. It was the Nachash walking out. It was outside of him, not in me. After Nefesh HaChayim says after the Chayit, that Yetzirah now became our inner voice, which is a scary thought. But originally there was a tremendous clarity. So how did he even mess up? That's a very good question. Yeah.
Maybe he was, if you saw everything as a manifestation of Hashem, and then the, what's it called, the Yetzer Hara was also a manifestation
of Hashem.
Interesting.
He saw the Yetzer Hara as a Malach Hashem,
and
he saw the Avera, he saw the Pnimius of the Avera, which is the Tshuva that he would do afterwards. And he was, yeah, that's, again, these are delicate concepts, but yeah, could be. He saw Fall of Atzofa, right? He saw that also, he saw. Again, this is very delicate stuff, but he saw that part of Hashem's master plan is that Adam is going to eat from the free will. Hashem knows everything. Okay. These are very, you know, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, these are the deepest of the deep. How do we reconcile Adam Arishon, so to speak, having free will, and Hashem also having a master plan? That Hashem is as the conductor, as orchestrator. Okay? Yeah.
Just curious, where is this school of thought from?
That what?
Adam really had a good
that Adam made a choice. I think the Nefesh HaChayim addresses that a little bit, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure who to say like this is the makor. I can check. But it's a very basic question, right? If Adam had such clarity, how did he sin? He chose to sin. It was a choice to sin.
You could also say that.
Good, and the pshat also, you have to read the pshat of the Chumash also, that's what we're learning here, right? The pshat has to also be the pshat. The pshat is a person gave in to a temptation, okay. That's the story of all of our lives.
But we could also say that, like, he was, and this is, like, the additional question that I have on this, is that Adam was also just created that day, and there was no pre-existing idea of what a chait was, and
right.
How could he know what he, like, what... He didn't
eat
wrong.
No, he knew it was wrong. He had a tzivoy, don't eat from the tree. Mikol it's a gan, achol tochel, except for this tree. So he had a tzivoy. He knew, he was told what to do.
I guess to know the consequences.
Yeah, well, that's why he thought he destroyed the world, the Gemara says. He thought it was over. Once he sinned, and the world got dark, he thought it was the end of the world. He thought he was going to die. And then Hashem says, well, you're not going to die right now, but you did just bring death to the world. So... that's also kind of a big deal. Yeah.
So seeing the light of Hashem and other things or all things is generally like, would be something that's good potentially. Right?
Yeah, of course, that's our avoda.
So,
my avoda is not to spend my life seeing the world with my physical eyes.
Right. So just from an aspect of, I mean, we're on the topic of avoda, I think that saw the good potential in it, even though Hashem said don't do it, and that's why he wasn't able to resist it. I mean,
right, that's a deep idea. That's a deep way to say it. That he saw the good even in the brokenness, and that's a very deep idea. That's a very delicate and deep idea. Okay, so Chaver, let's keep going. So v'hinei ha'ikar ha'kolhu, the main thing is. So we've seen a lot of times. I pointed out in the first year, but we're going to keep seeing it. For whatever reason, the Morav Shemesh likes to say that everything is like the main thing. And maybe because it is. Maybe because it is. Va'ikra kolu, the main thing is al yidei hayira amitis, that if a person has true awe, she anirta bereses vizia upacha mitnei Hashem yizbarach be'emes Hagam shenidma lo shu ovid Hashem be'emes. If a person is truly a God-fearing person, if we really believe that there are so many layers, that there's more to do, again, our theme from last week, the importance of being a growing person, not to be a matzeva. But if a person really believes, and he trembles, he's nirta beresas vizia, he's quaking, he's trembling with a pachad before the truth of Hashem, even though he knows that he serves Hashem be'emes, yeda ba'atzmo she'eno klum. But he feels, again, this sense of what? You will never get to the innermost layer, and that's not supposed to be depressing, that's supposed to be inspiring. That's supposed to be inspiring. I was in an old age home yesterday. On the one hand, it's very sad. You see people, you know, You see people sitting in wheelchairs, half asleep. And you see, there was this nice Hasidish fellow I was talking to for a while, telling me about how Yerushalayim is the opposite of Esav and Edom and Rome, and he was trying to tell me this whole Dvar Torah, but he was struggling to recall certain things. It's so sad. Mamash so sad. It's the biggest Musar Shmuz in the world, you know? Right now, you're young, and B'ayin Hara, you're healthy, and your mind is sharp, and it's like such an incredible Musar that a person becomes so, you know, we lose ourselves. There's so many layers to life and so many layers to a person, but at the same time, even though you look at that and it's like, you know, I hope I won't lose my mind at the end of my life. At the same time, there's a Mishnah that says that the difference between Ziknei Am Haaretz and Ziknei Tamidei Chachamim, the difference between a person whose life is infused by Torah and a person whose life is, I don't know, secular culture, sports, movies, etc., is that as time goes on, a person whose mind is immersed in Torah, right, their mind becomes, they have greater yishuv hadas. I know that's not biologically true. There's great Talmidei Chacham who lost all their learning. And there are people who've never lived a meaningful day in their life, and their mind is sharp until the end of their life. So it's not exactly a biological truth. What the Mishnah is saying is that there's a certain yishuv hadas that is found by people who apply their mind to spirituality. In other words, the way I would say it is like this. The chizuk that I get when I think about being old is that if my life is about Torah, again, halavai, our brains should be, you know, stable and our bodies should be healthy. Right? But even if a person is a 95-year-old, you know, alter yid sitting in a nursing home, right? Again, assuming he has the mental capacity to do something, he has the most meaningful thing in the world to do. He can open his Gemara, he can open his Chumash, he can connect to Hashem. He can open his Tehillim, and he can connect to Hashem. As opposed to the person whose whole life is Gashmias, so he can't run around anymore. Right? And he realizes he's come to the reality that all my money hasn't gotten me anywhere in terms of depth or meaning or purpose. So when you fall in love with Torah, I'll say it very simply. When you fall in love with Torah, you will always have something to do. You will always have something to do. When all the taivas get old, right? Or you get old and you can't, you know, chase after the taivas anymore. If you love Torah, and it's just a beautiful thing. You see, you know, there's Alter Yid who I was talking to yesterday. Mamash, he was not super clear in his mind. It was very uncomfortable. I was standing there for like a minute and a half where he was trying to remember. He was talking about his uncle. My uncle, I have an uncle. Where does he live? He couldn't figure it out for like, I was standing there for like a long time. I finally was like, London. That's where it is, London. He's in his late 90s. He lives in London. I was like, okay, London. It was sad to see a person struggle to remember that his uncle, his 90-year-old uncle, lives in London. It was sad. At the same time, the second he called me over, you should have seen the joy he was trying to share with Dvar Torah. I didn't fully chap what he was saying. He asked me to write it down. He took out a piece of paper. He was saying, you know, he's trying to like write it up. But you should see just the Simcha Sachai, how alive his life was, that he has Torah. That he has more to do. So it's not depressing what the Mor V'Shemesh is saying. It's the point I'm trying to make. Right? The awe and the trepidation that there's like layers and layers and layers and layers and layers, and even if I serve Hashem Be'emes, Yeid Ra'atzma She'ein Oklum, I should know that I haven't done anything yet. That's not depressing. That's exciting. There's always a new perspective. There's always a new Sefer. There's always a new Vart. There's a new way to read the Pasuk. There's a new way to interpret the Gemara. She'adayin lo ba el amitas avodas Hashem Yisbarach. I could daven better. I could be more connected. That's inspiring if you absorb it in a healthy way. V'chol eis she'asig yoser ha'saga. And when a person grasps more attainment, when he attains more, he understands more, yargish yoser mesikus. It should just get sweeter and sweeter. It's the opposite of physical pleasure. Physical pleasure, the more you indulge it, the more boring it gets. But the person who tastes ruchnius, the more you attach yourself to it, it gets sweeter and sweeter. V'yoser yira b'chachma v'das yisera. V'yargish shezeha yira shahayu lo mikodem. You start to realize that the awe, my respect for Hashem that I thought I had prior to this. V'china ava shahayu lo mikodem eino nachshav v'kum. I thought I was in love with Hashem when I was 18 years old. Now that I'm 25, I'm mamish in love with Hashem. When you're 35, I'll say, I thought that was called being in love with Hashem. I love being a Jew so much more now. I'm so much prouder to be a Jew. I'm so much more connected. Umibsari echazeh elokai. Like it says in Iov, in Parak Yotes. From my flesh I perceive God. What does that mean? Kishaodom roe eze davar yafa, mare v'tawar. When a person sees something of beautiful substance and form. Nira lo yafa, v'oe v'sadavar azeh. V'sover she'ein lamalahim. He sees something beautiful. He says, that's the most beautiful flower I've ever seen in my life. I never saw such a beautiful flower. I never saw such a beautiful painting. I never saw such a beautiful horizon or sunset. But what happens afterwards? He sees something even more beautiful. Same thing is true with taste. He tastes something. You're like, wow, this is the most delicious wine I've ever tasted in my life. And then you taste an even finer wine, and you're like, oh my gosh, I thought that was good. This is so much better. What I experienced originally is like nothing compared to this. I can't believe I used to think this was the greatest pleasure in the world. I go to my parents' house and I look at my CD collection from high school. And I think about certain like music that I used to think was like the greatest thing in the world. The greatest thing in the world. I didn't have cable TV growing up. I remember sitting on my floor in my house in Philadelphia, listening to Philadelphia Flyers playoff hockey games on a radio. I know I'm not that old. And I remember, I can feel the Hislavas like inside of me of like a game-winning goal, like jumping around my room. There's nothing, they're like, what could be more geschmack than this, you know? What could be more exciting than this? I was one zochet to go to a World Series game. I told you this? I went to the World Series game. Who was I talking to recently about this? I made a deal, me and my best friend, we made a deal with our fathers when the Phillies were good one season. So we made a deal, like midway through the season, if they go to the World Series, you'll get us tickets to the game. Like, yeah, okay, fine, sure. Anyways, as they were getting closer and closer to the World Series, they were getting really nervous. So during the playoffs, they're like, listen, what if we give you guys, like, you know, like, $50 each? Like, that way, like, you know, and we'll call it off, and then, like, you win no matter what. Like, no, we're sticking it out. We stuck it out. Phillies Blue Jays, I think it was 94? 92? 92. 92.
We won that year.
The Blue Jays won, yeah. So I was at the highest scoring World Series game in history. It was a crazy game in Philadelphia. The Blue Jays actually won the game. That was the... 15-14 is the final score. It was a crazy game. The Phillies were up by like 5 runs going into the top of the 8th or something like that. It was really a wild game. And I can close my eyes right now. I can feel the energy in the stadium. You know? I took my son Yaakov to his first baseball game the other week. And we were sitting. I was thinking like, oh, we're sitting. It's so funny because when I think back to that game, we stood the whole game. There was no sitting. It was a World Series game. No one sat down. You stood the entire time. Everyone was standing. Every pitch was like insanely crazy. So you think there's nothing like, what could be better than this? And then a person grows up a little bit. And you start to experience things that are even more geschmack, more meaningful, more deep. And you laugh. Mitchila, I used to think that was the greatest thing in the world. How did I? Kein ba'avodas sabori es barach. Friend, that's supposed to be the religious experience. Yaschil v'yavin b'chol pam yoser v'yoser, as you experience more and more and more. Ad ki yodah v'emes, ki yedah v'emes, sha'avdus sholo eino klom neged mashachayiv la'avodas habore. Hamasuka b'tachles hamasika. A person realizes that compared to how much sweeter it is if I can get up to another level. And when you're playing an instrument, that first experience of like finally, you know, I remember like learning how to play guitar for the first time. Finally being able to like switch fast enough from one chord to another chord. It's the most geschmack feeling in the world. And then you graduate from like playing chords to being able to like do something more. And you're like, whoa, you know, like this is so much. And I would look at my guitar teacher when I was in high school and I'd think like, oh my gosh, this guy's like the Gadol Hador, you know. He's the greatest musician of all time. Right? So when a person looks at Lahavdol, Avodas Hashem, and realizes, hold on, the next level, this is so sweet. This is so enjoyable. Imagine what it would be like to really understand that much more of the Gemara. Imagine if I could be even more connected during Shabbos. Imagine if I could daven and experience the joy and the pleasure, the sweetness of davening. There's nothing sweeter than it. V'hanechmad mikol mine chamudos shava'olam. More nechmad, more desirable than any desirable thing in the world. V'samachta b'chol hatov, it says in the Chumash. Next week's parasha. V'samachta b'chol hatov. I thought it was an Orachayim Kodesh. I couldn't find it this morning. V'samachta b'chol hatov. You should rejoice with all of the goodness. You know why Torah is called all the goodness? I heard this once from Rav Noach Isaac Olbaum Shlita. He said Torah is called all, spirituality is called kol hatov because in physicality there's always trade-offs. What do I mean? In physicality, if you go to a certain restaurant, they may have the best food, but they may not have the best prices. You go to a different restaurant, you feel like you're getting the best price, but you're not getting the best food. You go skiing. Right, so you get the geschmack of skiing, but the weather's cold. So it's the best weather for skiing, but it's not like the best weather of all. You go to this place, it's the best hotel, but it doesn't have the best attractions. Go to this place, the hotel that you're staying at, it's not as nice, but there's better roller coasters at the amusement park. Everything in life, there's a trade-off. The Torah says, V'samachta b'chol hatov. Ruchnias is kol hatov. It has all the best qualities. All rolled into one. It's mesika mikol hamesikos, the sweetest of the sweet. It's nechmad mikol mine chamudos, the best of the best. And therefore, a person should feel, I want to experience that. If you believe in that, you should want to pursue it. V'adayin eino masig klum, ve'eino odeya ma avdus Hashem. He doesn't yet know. Yeah, you know that there's better. U'kishu osekach tamid, and if a person again grows like this always, v'yishol yira gadol avodas Hashem. That he's not satisfied with his current level. He feels that this is still an FS, this is still a zero compared to what I'm obligated to Hashem and the opportunity that I've been granted by Hashem. Can you see the fierce obligation to grow? He doesn't have a dimyon that his avodas Hashem is sufficient in his eyes. She yotze b'zeha avoda. That he's yotze, that he fulfilled his obligation. V'sover sheishel yir of av, and he thinks that he's done enough. No, he doesn't rest with that. But he says, I want more. About such a person, za ishu b'china zos, hu miyachid ha'adnus b'havaya. A person who lives like this, he's speaking a little bit Kabbalistically now, unites adnus, the shame, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Havaya, and Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. There's a lot that he's saying here. Most of it I don't understand. I'll say one thought. Just what we're talking about, layers. How is Hashem's name written? It's written, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. How do we enunciate it? How do we interact with it? How do we connect with it? We say Ado, say Adnus. So a person who says that I'm not going to stop at Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod, the way that we pronounce Hashem's name. I want to go deeper. I want to be like Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, who's uttering the Shem HaMeforash. I want to see the fulfillment of, like it says in the future, Bayom Ahu Yihiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. I want to live to the day where Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei becomes what? Bayom Ahu Yihiyeh Hashem Echad Yud Hei Yud Hei. I want to see that name of Hashem. I want Adnus. I want the way that Hashem's name is pronounced on the lowest level, the sphere of Malchus. I want to be able to see it, Yud Kei Vav Kei. I want to reattach it to that. I want to see the whole thing. I want to be a connected Jew through and through. Umiyachir akol, umeir akol ad orin sof. I want to be a sof ha'olam v'ad sof ha'Jew. I want to be like Adam Rishon before the sin, who can hold the food in his hand and see the godliness in it. However, even though it sounds like we're talking about crazy lofty levels, it's also an attitude. Yes, you may not physically be able to see the letters in your slice of pizza. But you could pause for a second before you make a motzi and think about, I'm about to ingest godliness, not just cheese and sauce. That's a very powerful idea. Yeah?
I think the reason why the Rebbe keeps saying, you say like this is the main thing because I think it's this exactly this level of like growth that he's like
right.
He's always building on his ideas and it's like never satisfied
right.
Just continuing
right. I shouldn't have certain things that are important to me and certain things are less important. If I dig deeper, I'll realize that it's all amazing and it's all meaningful and it's all important and it's all endless. And right, so it's all everything. Yikar Hakol, everything's Yikar Hakol. Okay, so now let's come back to our pasuk finally a little bit. Okay, just a couple more minutes. V'yadua sha'osios v'atevos nikrim batim k'di'isa b'sefer yitzira. It says in the Sefer Yitzira, the book of Kabbalah attributed to Avram Avinu, the book of creation, that letters and words are called houses. Traditionally, how would one build a house? Out of stones. You would take a stone. You would take stones. As it says in Sefer Yitzira, Shnei Avonim Bonos Shnei Batim. You take stones, you take building blocks, those are the letters. The same way if I say to you H2O, so you'll say, what's H2O? It's water. Why is water H2O? Right. Why is salt NaCl? What are these things? What are you talking about? What's this periodic table of elements? You're taking different things and you're combining them in certain measures and you're building something out of it. Right? That's the deeper truth of what it is. You call it water, right? But really it's H2O on a deeper level. So too, the batim, the houses that we build, right, are taking different letters and combining them into words and building them out into concepts, into a reality. Hashem built the world with letters, the Gemara says. V'isa, it says in the Zohar, Bereishis, Beis Reishis, or maybe Bayis Reishis, starts with the house. You need to start building a house. You need to learn Aleph, and then you learn Beis, and then you learn Gimel, and then you learn Dalid. It could be that even the Hebrew word for a stone, Evan, right? Aleph, Beis, Nun, Nun Sofit. Well, what's that? So Nun sometimes represents like the Shar HaNun, you know, like the highest level. So it's like, you know, Aleph, Beis, dot, 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 all the way to Nun. Like Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalid, Hei, Vav, Zayin, forever. Right? It's a building block. Evan, take an Evan, and build a house. The word Evan is also the combination of Av and Ben, right? The relationship, and also the Shtalshalus, the chain, the parent, the child, the building blocks, to build a bias, to build a home. Veracious, the Torah begins with the letter Beis, a bias. Veracious, hu chachma. Bechachma, yibana bias. Ve'odim kazeh kanizkar le'al, this person that we're describing, who oset siru from tovim, he makes good combinations. Again, he's talking Kabbalistically, but let's keep it simple also. He makes good combinations means he makes good connections. He doesn't see physicality just as physicality. He begs Hashem, he davens to Hashem, I want to see spirituality. By the way, you can also daven that your spirituality should be spirituality. Because your Gemara can just be a law book. An irrelevant law book, for that matter. Daven to Hashem that I should see you in the Gemara. I should see you in the Ravina and the Ravashi. So a person who makes good seirufim, he makes good combinations, machmas sheish lo yira amitis, shedayin lo yotza ba'avdus shalo, he's always looking to add another layer, he's always looking to build, wants to add a new wing to his home, wants to put in a new bathroom, wants to re-tile the kitchen. He's always looking to build this home. In other words, he's always looking to broaden his avodas Hashem. Ve'ein lo klum yira va'av, and he says, no, this is not it. I mean, this is okay. I could live like this, but this is not real Yiras Hashem. This is not real Avas Hashem. This is not what it means to love a fellow Jew. Azai, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. What's the pasuk that we're familiar with? Reishis Chachma, the beginning of wisdom is Yiras Hashem. Hu Meir Habatim, and that illuminates the home, the letters, the concepts, the world. Mikoach Seirufei HaTevos VaOsios Shalom. He's always trying to make his letters, his words, his ideas, his home, his body, his relationships, everything. He's trying to make everything more wholesome. There's a big sugya in Chassidus of rearranging letters also. Right? Sometimes it's not about, you know, building a new room in your house, but it's about redecorating the room. Right? So the wall used to be painted blue, now you're going to paint it gray. Couch used to be black, now the couch is going to be brown. Right? That also makes it's a new room. So there's a big inyan of rearranging letters. Sometimes you could take letters in a certain arrangement, it's not working. In the right arrangement, it's working. You take the letter chaf, resh, taf, kares. You rearrange it and you make it into kesar. You take the word nun, gimel, ayin, nega, tsaras. You rearrange it, turn it into oneg. Right? So there's a big inyan of being able to thoughtfully rearrange the pieces. You have all the right pieces, just put them in the right order. So a smart person says, I can rearrange the letters better. I can set up this room better. I'm gonna move the couch to the other side, I'm gonna move the lamp to this side, and now look, the room looks so much better. And a wise person, he understands. Sha'avdis shalo eno klum. How does a person realize that my level is not it? Because I keep slipping from that level. The aliyos and the yeridos of life. Just like I can have a yerida, all the more so I can have an aliyah. The fact that I fall down, right, maybe eludes me that I can go higher. And if I was serving Hashem all the way through, if I had really reached the highest perfected state, then I would never fall. I would never slip. So apparently I'm not there yet. I haven't yet reached that level of perfected Yiras Hashem. And then I won't fall ever again. So now here's the punchline. Okay, Chavir, you worked hard. Let's get to the punchline. So now let's explain the pasuk. Umisham be'era ha-pasuk shalofenenu. Let's learn our pasuk. You want to build a house. Kisivna bayis chadash. A Jew is trying to build the house. So strange, it's stuck in here in between kalayim and tzitzis and not wearing. A male shouldn't wear a woman's clothing, and you send away the mother bird. And the Torah slips in this one-liner. Push up shot. Put a fence around your swimming pool so God forbid no one drowns. So a little kid doesn't, God forbid, wander into the pool. If you build a new house, make a fence for your roof so that no one dies if a person, God forbid, were to fall off the roof. That's the pshat. The remez is literally the sugya of your entire existence. As we just learned the last 45 minutes. It's your entire life. You want to build a bayis. Kisivna bayis chadash. Lahayinu shetaseh tzirufim hanikram batim. You're trying to put together the pieces. If it's so nicely what we learned last week. What was the difference between a mizbeach and a matzeva? What did Rashi just say? Pashup shah and chumash. A matzeva is a single stone. A mizbeach is a composite. I'm always adding new pieces. I'm redesigning. I'm adding new layers. So a person wants to build a bayis chadash. He wants to renew his house. He wants to take the letters of his life. He wants to take the experience of his life. He wants to rearrange them. He wants to connect them more deeply. Va'asisa maka legagecha. Pashup shat, make a fence for your roof. Perish, he says, ki maka imakolel begamatria yira. First you have to assess your maka. Maka is your fence. What is a fence? A fence, right? A fence. You know, protects, holds in, right? It's a midas hadin type of thing. It's gvura. It's like Yitzhak Avinu, who was tied down at the Akedah. The maka, it's a fence. It's yira. That's why maka is gematria yira. You should make a maka to your gagecha. What's the gag? The gag is the roof. The roof is the part that's on top. Right? The part that's on top, again, if I told you in the sviros, if malchus, the lowest of the sphira, corresponds to Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, so the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the way we don't say God's name because it's so lofty, refers to something much higher up. It's the Gag, it's the roof. That's why Gagecha is Gematria, what he says? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Very nice. Gematria of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Asisa Makeh LeGagecha Shetiyached Yira Shuhu Heichal Vishar Shuhu Aleph Dalet Nun and Yud Liyached LeGagecha. Gagecha, we said, is Gematria Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Ava. I want to bring together my Yiras Hashem, my Avas Hashem. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. I see myself as a beginner. There's so much more to do. I want to be more connected. I want to raise my level to a higher level. And by doing so, Lo Sasim Damim Beveis Echa, I don't want there to be what? Pasha Pshat, blood spilled in the home. What does that mean? Perish. Shelo tasim etzelcha. What's dam? He says, dam is v'lashon dimyon. I don't want to get caught in dimyonos. You know what's a dimyon? This whole world is a dimyon. This whole world is just one big levush. That building doesn't exist. So I say, what are you saying? Of course it does. I mean, it does and it doesn't. It exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke it into creation. And at this very moment, Hashem is speaking it into creation. But I don't see that. I see a dirty old building with graffiti on the side. How do you see Elukus? How do you see letters? How do you see godliness? But that's a dimyon. That's not real. Shelo tasim etzlecha dimyonos, and not to get caught up in our imagination. Shitiyasover shasisa habatim ba'ava v'yira karoi. To look at something and to say, this is, you know, this is what it is. Or to look at my avodas Hashem and say, yeah, this is, yeah, I'm God-fearing. I'm God-loving. I love my fellow Jews. I know what it means to experience Shabbos. We don't know any of those things. But you know why? Because there's more layers. V'abechina hu alzeh, and the proof of this is what? What does the pasuk say? If you get trapped in, if you don't have a proper fence on your roof, if you're not working on your avas Hashem and your yiras Hashem, then you're going to be caught in the damim, you're going to be caught in the dimyonis. And the proof is ki yipol hanofel mimeno. Your ups and downs in life is a proof. You believe in your downs, no? You believe that you're sometimes going down, so why don't you believe that you could also be going up? In fact, as one of the tzaddikim said, down has a limit. Even if you jump off the highest building, eventually you hit the down. Up has no limit. Up is forever. We don't know where up ends. Where does up end? You fall into the Grand Canyon. Fall into the deepest hole. Right? Eventually you find the bottom. There's a limit to the bottom. There's no limit to the up. But the reason that we go down is to remind us, well, if I can go down, I should probably believe that I can also go up. You fell from your madrega. So it must be that I haven't reached perfection yet. So I come to the realization, you know what? Compared to, again, to the infinity of Ruchnius, I haven't done anything yet. And my hope is that I can be like Adam Rishon, I can start working my way from one end of the spectrum and sofa all the way to the other end of the spectrum. A remez in one pasuk. Yes, sir.
So we're saying that sometimes we look like, let's say, we look at ourselves and still fall in line. Sometimes that would be an indication that we should actually be on a higher level and
kind of right? That means I'm still malleable. I'm still in flux.
So
I'm not set. I'm not set in my ways.
What's like a good indicator? Like, how can someone tell that that's the right move? Because obviously there are times when that's not the right move.
What are you calling the right move?
Meaning, to respond to falling a lot by saying, I should just hold myself to a higher standard.
I don't know if it's holding myself to a higher standard. You may not be shy after that madrega. He talks actually elsewhere in the Parsha about seeing tzaddikim do certain things and saying, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to copy them. Melech has a famous word about copying tzaddikim and not being on an appropriate level. Right? When you fall, it doesn't mean so therefore go to the opposite extreme and like, that's, no, that I'm very against that. I find that to be very unhealthy. When a person says, you know, I did so many be'aroveros, so now I'm going to like flip out the opposite extreme. For most people, that's very unhealthy and totally unsustainable. It has to be incremental growth. But from the fact that I'm in flux, I'm moving, I'm not a matzeva, I'm not a single pillar, right? The fact that I'm made up of a bias, I'm made up of a composite of different avanim, right? So just like I could, you know, remove stones, I can add stones in a good way. So the goal is to respond to the nefila by saying, if I can go down, I can go up. Obviously, going up means whatever the next appropriate up is for me. But not yet, no, not to respond that because I fell so far, I should go to the opposite extreme. No, I don't think at all that's what Hashem wants of us. Yeah.
Bro, couldn't you summarize this, the main points?
Yeah. You summarize. You tell me. Kisivna bayis chadash. Again, we started off by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in layers. Right? Hashem sent down His infinite light to this world, and that light became enveloped and wrapped in many different forms. All the way down to this pen that I'm holding in my hand. Right? What's holier, this pen or a Sefer Torah? You're very uncomfortable with that question.
Yeah.
Extremely uncomfortable. Right? On a pshat level, a Sefer Torah. on a real, real, real panemistical level, there's actually no difference. Right? Why? Because Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If I can get to that point of Echad, there is no two separate things. There's no you and there's no me. Right? Again, it sounds like trippy stuff, but it's just the Achdus Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. So he started by describing how we live in a world of concealment. Why do we have a world of concealment? That gives us free choice. That allows us to play the game. That allows us to earn schar. That allows us, God forbid, to make bad choices and be punished. But the goal is to what? As we explained, to go misofa olam vad sofa. To see through all of the walls, all of the blockage, all of the darkness, to see from one end all the way to the other end. Right? That's the goal. And the way that I do that is by recognizing, and again, it's the same theme from last week, not getting stuck where I am, but saying, you know what, when I believe that there's more sweetness to experience and there's more layers of depth to uncover, so then I start to search for it. And I start to build it. I start to look for it. And then he used that muscle of building it as saying what? Kisivna bayis chadash. You want to build a new house. You want to add on to your house. Or you want to rearrange your house. You want to rearrange the pieces of your world. You want to start looking at something in a deeper way, right? So how do you do that? Vasisa maka legagecha. You assess your maka gematria yira. You assess your gagecha gematria yudke vavke. Hashem's name of Ava. You look at your yira Hashem and your Ava Hashem, and you say, I'm not satisfied with where I am. And the reason that I know that I haven't perfected myself is because lo sasim damim bivesecha. I don't allow this dimyon. I don't allow this imaginary feeling that I'm this is as good as it gets, right? Because I know from my physical experience that I once tasted something and I thought this was the greatest food I ever tasted until I tasted something even much better. And I thought this was the most fun I'll ever have. This is the most kishmak I'll ever, this is the most alive I'll ever feel, screaming at the Phillies to try to win that game as a 13-year-old boy in Philadelphia, right? And then realizing that, no, you know what? Understanding a Tosos is much more exciting. A Tosos by myself is better than a stadium full of people cheering for a baseball player. So then I start to overcome that dimyon, that imagination that this is as good as it gets. And the reason I know that I can be a person in flux is because ki yipol hanofel mimenu. Because sometimes I've fallen away from whatever I thought was so great. So if I could fall back, I can also fall up. I could fall forward. That's the yisod. Okay, friends? All right. I had dimyon asasa. You know what my dimyon was? That we were going to do three pieces. But we did one piece. That's good, though. All right, we should be zocha to be growing Jews. Yeah. Menachem Ephraim.
Someone told me during my...